than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. It is a Purple Friday preview, and you don't get any more purple than this week because it is purple versus purple. It is Ravens versus Vikings in Minnesota, don't you know? So joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Dude, happy Purple Friday. You're right, man. It's like a purple fest. These two teams getting together, and I'm going to be trekking up to the other Purple Palace up north, man. It's going to be a great time.
You know, actually, you are one of many I know from Baltimore that this is their pick for the away game that they're going to go to this year.
Really?
So it seems as if Minnesota is going to have a heavy Ravens presence this week.
I'm sure I'll see it on the streets, especially when I get there. Obviously, I'll be arriving there pretty soon, but it's going to be great, man. And I did not know that. I mean, apart from the fellows I'm going with, I don't really know anybody. I mean, a lot of people I know are going to Nashville in a couple of weeks, and a lot of people I know are going to Lambeau. But obviously, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing, but I know a lot of people doing that trip. But the Nashville trip, people are trying to get me on because I heard a lot of people are really going to join in down there. It's going to be a great time. But yeah, man, it's going to be it's going to be a hard-fought Purple Fest, but it's going to be fun, dude.
Absolutely it is. And we have to start off this show talking about the return of Brandon Williams to practice, finally.
I'm excited. I thought it was like the return of the Jedi or something.
Well, we know that Terrell Suggs is a Sith Lord. He's Darth Vader. So, I mean, maybe exactly. Brandon Williams could be a little bit on the light side. So,
but dude, what a refreshing thing to hear that Brandon Williams is back. Some positive news, man.
That's right.
I feel like it's just been forever.
It has been, and he returned finally on Wednesday. He was a full participant. That's even more encouraging that he was a full participant. It wasn't limited. And he was a full participant on Thursday as well. So the Minnesota offense, if we see Brandon Williams, I mean, all signs right now to me point that he will be playing on Sunday. With Brandon Williams back in the lineup, what does that do to the Minnesota Vikings offense? Because they've got some injuries on their offense at QB that we already know about. So Brandon Williams potentially back in the lineup. What does that mean for this team?
Well, it means for as far as the Ravens are concerned, it's a huge boost in the running defense, man, because we are well on our way on a track record for one of the worst rushing defenses in against the run in team history. And it was just few and far between. I mean, how dominant have the Ravens been so much in their franchise against the run, where they've had runs of like 30 and 40 games in a row with no 100-yard rusher? I mean, there was like two or three seasons in like chunks where it was like, oh, the last 100-yard rusher was 2.5 years ago on the calendar and so many games ago, and then somebody breaks it and it's like, okay, and then we start another streak. Now it's like it's trendy that, okay, if a team doesn't rush 100 yards, what's the problem? Because when Williams was out, people were exploiting that and taking advantage of it. So I feel that it gives us definitely a dynamic boost on the run defense, especially in pass rushing. I mean, it's going to change the facet of how we've been playing defense over the last 2 weeks. But, dude, my friend, I feel like this was what better time than now, because if it's not a true playoff game in week 7, I feel like, again, you know, and I'm going to stick to my guns as of last week, what I said. You know, the Ravens, I feel like they're not really a playoff team. I mean, they're hovering around, they're 500, they're just mediocre. But if we want to root them hard and want to root towards a playoff spot, you got to win on Sunday, and Brandon Williams back is a big key to that component, man.
Absolutely, and not just Brandon Williams, but Carl Davis, also a full-time participant, a full participant the last 2 days. So that's also great news because we felt the effect of Brandon Williams and Carl Davis being out last week, and we saw how things broke down. So it was great to have those two guys back on the field. And another one back on the field, Jalen Hill, who hasn't played a game at all this year. He was a fire. Everybody was talking about him in the preseason. He makes the 53-man roster, and then he gets hurt. So it's good to have Jalen Hill back. Who knows what kind of impact he'll have on the team. But let's talk about the people that didn't practice. And, of course, you know, we got to get our laundry list out of people that didn't practice. Breshad Perryman, he did not practice this week. He's going through concussion protocol because of the hit that we saw in the game last week. Jimmy Smith is out. Mike Wallace is out. Benjamin Watson is out. Lardarius Webb is out. Terrence West is out. And Max Williams, among some other ones, that they completely did not practice the last couple days. So Mike Wallace, Breshad Perryman both out, and we have Jeremy Maclin limited in practice. What does that mean for the wide receiving core here? Because that's your three biggest names right there potentially not playing on Sunday.
Well, potentially not playing is doom and gloom, man. And, I mean, you hate to really follow the negative atmosphere with the receiving core. I mean, we've already had the staunch of, you know, not using Mike Wallace properly last week. Now we have to go, okay, so-and-so's limited. They might not play. Breshad's dropping balls. You're right, man. Look at the receiving core from, you know, without Mike Wallace. Let's say if we don't have Mike Wallace on the team, without Maclin, you're lining up Perryman, Chris Moore, and Michael Campanaro. I don't care if Manning is under center's prime or Brady. That scares me. I mean, and just to have Maclin limited practice this week is just a glimmer of hope, but I feel he's good to go on Sunday. I mean, he'll be questionable at best, but I feel like if we're going to have any success in the passing game and get a revamped look, we have to have these guys healthy. I mean, you just can't like I said, you're only good as so much as what you're given, but if we're constantly hurt and constantly in the hole, how good can we be? And if you're not going to properly use the playmakers of Mike Wallace, then why even play the game and march him out there? But, having these guys is very vital. Like Brandon Williams on the defensive side, we need everybody back on offense. I mean, we know some of the guys are lost for the year, but right now we need it really bad. Dude, I can't even stress enough how bad we need it.
Yeah, and we should say Mike Wallace, he was out for practice due to a bone bruise. He said he took a helmet to the back on the game on Sunday, and that is why he didn't practice. Potentially, we could see him play, but let me ask you, we talked about this with the Red Eye Review. Mike Wallace, even if he is playing, how much of an impact is this guy going to make? He doesn't get the ball thrown to him at all.
No, I mean, he can't make an impact when he's not part of the game plan. I mean, the dude was virtually a ghost out there. It was like he walked out and it was like he was invisible. I mean, you're talking like George Bailey, invisible, I wish I was never born in the classic movie, because it was like you might as well just not even think he's there. It sucks, man. And I mean, again, I don't want to sit here and go on rants after rants after rants, but if Marty's not going to use him, then what gives? He's got to be a big part of the offense. I feel like if we're going to go anywhere, score points, win some games, number 17's got to be a big part of this offense. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, again, I'm not putting, don't get me wrong, I'm not putting Mike Wallace in the same breath as Tuna Brown, Julio Jones, or any of these guys. But I feel like how good would the Steelers be and how good would Antonio Brown be if they didn't use him properly? I mean, you're already seeing him throw tantrums on the sideline. I mean, how good would the Giants be if they didn't use Beckham properly? How good would the Falcons be if they just, hey, you know what? I'm going to throw the ball to Sanu and Tyler Gabriel because you know what? Julio, I'm just not a believer in him. I mean, you got to use your weapons. I mean, you know, what's good of the receivers that we sign and we got playmakers now stretching the field. I mean, you've seen the damage what Mike Wallace did in year one to some teams. Look what he did in Oakland 2 weeks ago. 52-yard pass, first play of the game, stretching the field. Where was that? It's like I level with me here, man. I don't know what gives with this team, but it's like, what is Marty thinking when, would he just do that to make him happy? And he goes, okay, well, now we're going to stick to regularly scheduled programming. Here's more vanilla flavored football. It's just like unpredictable. I mean, if the fans know what's coming, if you're not going to use your guys, I mean, it's just atrocious, dude. I mean, you throw a big pass like that and then just – none of those plays are in the arsenal come at home against a rookie quarterbacks and the Bears and all that. I mean, I don't know, man. They got to use the guys. I mean, we can talk healthy, we can talk unhealthy all we want, but if Macklin plays, you got to use him too, as long as Wallace.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if Macklin and Wallace are in there, they should be getting a lot of the snaps, but you also have Chris Moore, Chris Matthews, and who else we have? And Michael Campanaro, like you said, in the receiving core. With those guys listed there, I have to assume that the Ravens are going to want to keep it on the ground and maybe run it a little bit more. Now, Terrence West is out, but they do have Alex Collins, who has been everybody's favorite this year, Buck Allen, and Bobby Rainey. Do you see them sticking to the ground game, maybe going with that flow a little bit more than we've seen in the past? Like, game one, it was on the ground, you know, 80% of the game. Now they, like, don't have an excuse of why they're doing it that way.
I mean, I don't think it's just a matter of, oh, this is what they decided to do or stick with it. I mean, you're given the hand you're dealt with a Woodhead going down and with West going down. But I feel like, again, we got to come back to identity. They have to find identity in the running game. I mean, right now, I feel like we found a little bit of Alex Collins. I mean, Alex Collins is a clear-cut starter for me right now and for this team, you know, just by looking at it and by the way he hits the holes running and he just has that speed, man. But I feel like if the running game, again, you know, you can agree with me or even disagree, but any football enthusiast knows that obviously you run the stuff in pants and vice versa, but it's mind-boggling to me how if we're going to use a play action when we're not running the ball effectively, defenses are going to get fooled with that. They're going to laugh at us and go, really? That's not going to work. And you wonder why when you do play action, Flacco's under duress, because when the defense doesn't bite on that and it delays Flacco, because you figure you got to take the motion to hand it off, come back in the pocket, and before you know it, you're under duress. I mean, I've seen it time and time again. The play fake doesn't work. It works when your running back's running 6, 7, 8 yards a chunk and he's got 150 yards in the game and it's the fourth quarter and he's already got 2 touchdowns. They can't stop him, and you want to use it to freeze the defense to clear up some space for a receiver or crossing route, or to have the receiver do a double move to, you know, to buy some time to get that timing down on the passing routes. I mean, for me, the running game, I feel like I think we're going to be okay as far as Alex Collins stays healthy. I mean, if we're down to Allen running it and just Allen alone, dude, we're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really the scary part. But who knows with this Minnesota team. Let's talk a little bit about their quarterback.
Yeah, man.
Case Keenum is the guy that Minnesota's going with. I don't think that's the guy that they thought they were going to start the season with and stay with. But what do we know about Case Keenum? He's been in the league for a little bit, but he's a backup. Like, is there any kind of tape or anything that the Ravens can kind of learn a little bit about his game from?
Of course, man. He's a journeyman, and I feel like the Ravens – correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the Ravens have seen him before. I mean, I believe he was in a game, the same game that Flacco got hurt when he was quarterbacking for the Rams, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Ravens have seen him before, and whether he's a journeyman, a veteran, or rookie, obviously it didn't matter because a rookie pretty much – you know, diced us apart and won their first game in M&T Bank Stadium. He broke the curse of the rookies coming in. So I believe, and I don't care, I believe that they got to be concerned no matter who it is, because if Mitchell Trubisky can do what he did, especially on in overtime on a 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 11, whatever it may be, and the Ravens just brought the heat and brought the house, and he made that throw to right over the middle, I feel like the Ravens got to be ready for anything, ready for trick plays, ready for QB scramble, ready for just anything that the Arsenal happens to throw us. So I feel like it comes down to containment. I mean, if they can get the pressure and they can do things fundamentally sound, I feel like they're going to have a good day against Casey Keenum. But I feel like if Keenum, has their way to defense and the defense just doesn't really, you know, with the addition of Williams coming back in and they don't hold the running game at bay, I feel like it's going to be a long day. And, that's going to be the chess match there. It's how is the run defense is going to be, and then if we stop the run, if we make Keenum beat him, beat us with his arm, how effective is it going to happen?
Yeah, that's the next question I was going to have for you. Is
see, I saw your notes.
we know that Case Keenum likes to throw the ball. He likes to pass, and right. We do have the secondary now. Jimmy Smith, he's had a veteran day off, is what they're calling it. So we didn't see him at practice earlier this week, but. Eric Weddle, I know he's got to be looking for a bounce back from that bad game on Sunday. I mean, his missed tackle kind of led the beginning of the end for the Ravens. But Tony Jefferson, Brandon Carr, those type of guys, I mean, they have to be a huge factor to make Case Keenum uncomfortable to throw that ball, right?
Absolutely, couldn't agree with you more.
Now, do you think we will have a game like that for Weddle? Are we going to see him missing a tackle, or is he going to have a big Sunday?
No, I think he'll bounce back, man. He's a savvy veteran and knows he made a mistake. I mean, he overshot the play, overran the route there, and mistimed the corner. I mean, Howard's just a hard bat to get a control of, at least anyway. And, you know, when you come shooting a gap like he did and cut his angle on the sideline and he just cut it wrong. I mean, to me, the way I've watched that replay a lot and just looking at it, I mean, obviously if I was sitting here with him on game film and breaking it down like, you know, like a good student of the game would, I feel like he would agree. You know, he had to use the sideline to his advantage because the sideline acts as another tackler, man. It's like the unsung mystery 12th man out there, because if you can pin him between you and the sideline, where is he going to go? He can't go backward. He can't go left to his left. Left or right, so you almost have to force him inside, and then that's where the rest of the players are, and they'll catch up to him. So I feel like what he did is he missed the angle, and Howard ran up the sideline because all he saw was pay dirt, man, because there's no players there because they were all contained. So I feel like, you know, Weddle knows he'll rebound as well as every other player out there. I feel like this is going to be a gut check time. I mean, and unsurprisingly, within the next statement I'm going to make is going to be surprising, but the Ravens so far this year have played relatively well on the road, which is weird because usually we're 8-0 at home and we lose like every game on the road, it seems like.
Yeah, they've never really been a road team, but now it's kind of like the upside down. Stranger Things is coming back next week.
They're 2-1 on the road and 1-2 at home.
Yeah, this is really weird. So let me ask you: the Ravens brought in a new wide receiver, Griff Whalen. He was with the Ravens during the preseason, so they know him a little bit. But they cut offensive lineman Tony Bergstrom, and that leaves only 7 offensive linemen on the 53-man roster. I don't know about you, but that makes me pretty nervous.
It makes me nervous too, bro. I mean, it's just, again, the reinforcements. I mean, you're only good as what you have on the field. I mean, and if they're moving people in and out, I feel like I'm very concerned the fact that what faith is that in the current receiving corps, if you're signing Griff Whalen out of nowhere, and everybody's like, who? Griff who? And I hear it now. I'm like, everybody's like, oh, they need to make this, they need to make that. And people are chirping, they should have drafted this in the draft and drafted that. And I told you so, we went defense and it's not working. See. And I'm like, here we go. But you have to play the hand we're dealt, and this is the hand the Ravens are dealt. And I feel like if they feel like Griff Whalen's going to be the man, let him be it. But do I like the signing? Am I breaking it down going, oh, I'm gushing with a somebody like Mel Kiper on draft day? No. I like the fact that, okay, we already seen what the trash produced on Sunday. Can't catch the ball, it's thrown to him. So let's bring in somebody else who can. And if he can catch, you know, 5 out of 7 targets for 80 yards and a touchdown, then so be it. Then he's our guy. But if we're throwing these passes, the Perryman, all that, and they're not catching the ball, I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, Flacco threw the ball low or high and all that. Again, I put the screenshot there on the call Facebook page for all to see. Make your own judgments. It's not photoshopped. It's the real photo from the game. Perryman had the ball right in his breadbasket. I mean, you can't – it's like a LeBron James. Let's say, you know, LeBron James and the Cavaliers are going for a game-winning score, and like all he had to do was make a layup or a dunk, and let's say he was all by himself and he tried to show off and he missed the dunk or missed the layup somewhere, and then the Cavaliers lose the title. Same thing in basketball. It's like you missed a layup, bro. I mean, you got to catch the ball. I mean, again, you know, a receiver's going to catch everything, Brandon. No. I mean, they're not perfect. You can't catch everything. But their job is to catch a ball and make adjustments. But what makes a good player is if a ball is thrown high or low, he goes and tries to make a play on it and grabs it. But it's timing, man. You're putting your hands up and he's catching a ball of rocks and flinging the ball in the air. He's not set. And I've seen it come out of his routes. When he comes out of his routes, his hands got to be ready to receive the ball. They're not. He's coming out of his routes and his arms are still hanging at his side. And when the ball's almost to him, he's putting his hands up, and that's where the deflection is, because you're hitting the ball straight in the air because you're getting your hands up ready, and you jam your fingers, you jam it on your palm or your hand or whatever, and it goes wherever way, and it bounces into the hands of defense. I mean, he's not receiver ready. When you run and you come out of your route, you have to be looking up and ready and your hands right there on your numbers and saying, here comes the ball. And that's trust in your quarterback. That's timing. And again, it could be equated to Flacco not being in training camp, not being in preseason because he's not timed. But I'm not going to make that excuse for Perryman, because him and Perryman had plenty of time together when they had been, because he's been here for a few years. Not as plenty of time as he's been hurt, because he's missed so much time. It's been detrimental to his development as a receiver. So, and that's another thing. I feel like Perryman's just a rookie still, because he hasn't really played. I don't think he's played a full 16 games in the NFL in like 3 years, and it sucks. I mean, his best game, I feel like, was the Thursday Night Football, or I think it was it Thursday Night Football against the Browns? I can't remember it. The Browns, and then he played a game against the Dolphins on a Sunday and had a crazy game there. I think that was his only two best games as a Raven, and that's it. So I feel like they need to get more involved. I mean, it shows trust, but when your track record proves otherwise, dude, it's a moot point.
All right, so let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Let's talk about it. What do you think who do you think is going to win this game, and what type of score do you think it is? Personally, I'm scared to say this, but I think the Ravens are going to come out, and I don't see them winning this game. But I feel like any points that they score are going to be from special teams, or if they get touchdowns or whatever, it's going to be from interceptions from the defense. I think this is going to be a very defense-dominated game, just because the Ravens don't have the tools on offense that they need to win a game.
No, they don't, man. I can agree with you on that segment. I think I feel like this is a loss, and I love the assessment there that they're going to make a few plays, but they're not going to get it all together and not put together a full game plan. And I feel like they're going to really be a gut check in Minnesota. I mean, it's going to be it's really easily could be a 3-4 record coming out of there, going, what happened? But it easily could be on the winning side and going, we proved it, the 3-1 on the road. We proved it right, and let's come back home on a short week and let's beat the Dolphins and go 5-3. I mean, they have the opportunity here to do something great or something tragic. I mean, and horrible. Let's say you went on the road, you steal one in Minnesota, whether it's a winnable game or a close game, and you come back home in a short week, get off the flight, get practice, get mended up. You come play a Dolphins team on Thursday night at home. It's going to be a crazy short week for us too. And they have an opportunity. If they can take one and come home and really take care of business, fired up under the lights on national TV, the Ravens are 5-3 after 8 games. So, I mean, it can definitely happen. But then they have an opportunity to lose in Minnesota, be 3-4, coming back home, and laying an egg against the Dolphins of being 3-5, or being again being mediocre and being 4-4 again. You know, it's just, you know, obviously which way you slice it each way, we can break it down obviously, but yeah, I feel you, man. This is a loss for the Ravens. I feel like this is going to be I feel like it could be easily a double digit win for the Vikings. I mean, they got a firepower. Stephon Diggs is back, got McKinnon. They got playmakers, man, and their defense is, if not my mistaken, maybe ranked 3rd overall in the NFL, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, their defense is pretty stout, man. And, I mean, the Vikings ain't no slouch. I mean, they took care of the Saints on the first game. They've been giving some teams problems. I mean, they took care of Aaron Rodgers, took him out, man. I mean, they took Aaron Rodgers out. So they're 4-2 in their division, and I feel like it's a battle of the NFC and AFC North, man, and 3-3 Ravens, the 4-2 Vikings. It's one purple team's got to come out victorious, man, and we got to show face, or if not, we're going to be in trouble.
One of these teams is going to go from purple to black and blue at the end of Sunday. So
But see, here the Vikings, though, is obviously, I feel like with their division and everything, they can pretty get away with a loss. But I feel like if we do, it's dire straits, bro.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, what a quick turnaround for next week, a Thursday night game. But That's for the Red Eye Review next week to talk about. So, Josh, for this Purple Friday preview, have we covered everything?
We covered it. Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, and if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, or you will get a chance to chat with Josh on all kinds of different things. There's a photo of Rashad Perryman not catching that ball from last Sunday that is just blowing up over on our Facebook page. People are real interested. Got lots of different perspectives on that photo. So definitely come be a part of the Ravens community over on Facebook. Like us over there. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much for a great Purple Friday preview, man. I can't believe it's already week seven.
Seven. Insane.
Yeah, and in a short week at week eight, man, it's going to be crazy. Just thinking how 2017 fun or lack of fun thereof as the season's been, but it's definitely been up and down, guys, man. And the Ravens are road warriors, man. That's a tongue twister. Road warriors. They proved themselves road warriors this year so far at a 2-1 record, as we stated prior. And the Ravens are not so good at home, man. Home cooking's been lack, and it's been surprising at a 1-2 record equates to obviously the even 3-3. But the Ravens have an opportunity here to do something, man. If they do well, I feel like historically they've done well in these short Thursday night weeks, especially when they've had these Thursday nights at home. I feel like we always get the Sunday nighters away. We finally got a Monday nighter later in the year, and we usually have the Thursday nights here. We've had them against the Steelers. We had them against the Browns, and now we have it against the Dolphins. And we've done very well where, if I remember search correctly, we usually probably pretty much do good when we win that game on Sunday, come home, and win that game on Thursday. I'm saying, you know, you got two games in a matter of span of 4 days. By next Purple Friday, we could be looking at a 5-3 Ravens record and going, hey, you know, maybe we slugged one out. Maybe it was ugly, but it's a W at the end of the day, and we have more points than the other team. I don't care. They could throw for 300 more passing yards, but if we beat them on the scoreboard, that's the only column I care about at this point. Wins and losses get you in the playoffs. They get you where you need to go, and right now, Ravens need a must-win on Sunday in the Purple Palace of the North. NFC North versus AFC North, Clash of the Purples. Which North will reign? We will find out. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.